بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم رضی اللہ عنہم ورضوا عنہ ذلک الفوز العظیم صدق اللہ العظیم الحمد للہ وذ فضل کرم فاللہ سبحانہ وتعالی وی کومنس او وی کنٹینیو اور ڈسکشن آن دا صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہم اجمعین الحمد للہ by reading about the Sahaba, listening about them, the love of Sahaba comes into the lives, to the hearts of every person. We begin to emulate them, we begin to love them dearly. And loving the Sahaba is a sign of Iman. Hating the Sahaba is a sign of Nifaq. And these were the real shining stars, as we mentioned so many times previously. They sat in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They observed every action of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had genuine, true, sincere love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They made sacrifices for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Allah ta'ala was pleased with them. So by reading about these sahaba, listening about them, Allah ta'ala puts noor into the heart of the person. And rahmat descends. Tonight, inshallah, we discuss Hazrat Usama bin Zaid radiallahu ta'ala. Or we could even say we're discussing Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala. Usama is the son of Zaid radiallahu ta'ala. And Zaid radiallahu ta'ala is the father, Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala. So we have Usama who is the son, and Zaid is his father. We will discuss both of them very briefly. And Usama's mother was Ummu Ayman Barakah radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she was the attendant or the khadima of the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amina. And we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very fond of Ummu Ayman Barakah radiallahu ta'ala anha. Ummu Ayman Barakah was an Abyssinian woman. And when Rasulullah's mother Amina passed on, she took care of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Medina, brought him back to Makkah. He used to look after him. He was so fond of her that he would say, Ummi ba'da ummi. That she was my mother after the demise of my mother Amina radiallahu ta'ala. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to visit her. And he used to partake of meals that she would prepare especially for him. And like how, although Rasulullah SAW had grown up to be a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was a father, he was a leader of the people. Ummu Ayman Barakah radiallahu ta'ala anha was elder in age. She was elder in age than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she would prepare some meal, and like how a mother forces a little child to eat, please eat, please eat. So Rasulullah would make her happy and he would partake of the meal. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, after Rasulullah left this world, then they continued the various good deeds that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would do, especially visiting such personalities, such people that Rasulullah would go and visit. They continued this practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they go and visit Ummu Ayman Barakah radiallahu ta'ala anha. And when they go, they sit with her. She's an elderly woman. She begins to cry. So thinking that she's crying now because she's missing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They try to console her. She says, I'm not crying because that Rasulullah has left us. I know that he's in a far better place than being with us. But I'm crying over the days when wahi would come down. And now the zaman of wahi has terminated. There's no more wahi coming down, no more Jibreel coming down, no more verses coming down. So she began to cry and she spurred them, both of them began to cry. Sayyidina Abu Bakr is crying, Sayyidina Umar is crying, radiallahu anhu. The point here was Ummu Ayman Barakah. Barakah, full of blessings. And there's an incident when she was making hijrat and going from Makkah to Medina, and en route she became very, very thirsty and she had nothing to drink. And that is when she looked towards the sky and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a bucket of water for her. It came dangling down with a rope. She took just one or two sips And she says, I swear in the name of Allah, that after the one or two sips that I had taken, I never ever became thirsty in my life. I would make tawaf upon tawaf, and I would never become thirsty. And this was the barakah that she received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many other incidents regarding her. Coming back to Usama, so Usama's mother is Ummu Ayman Barakah radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the day Usama was born, there was so much of joy in Medina. There was so much of happiness in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anha was the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore I said we could discuss Usama and also Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anha. We have mentioned briefly about Ummu Ayman Barakah radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Usama and the wife of Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anha. Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, Zayd bin Haritha, Zayd the son of Haritha radiallahu ta'ala. He was a little child of 8 years old. Now we're talking about the father Zayd. His mother, by the name of Su'ada bint Thalaba, she had been undertaking some journey and he had accompanied his mother. And as they were going, there was a tribe that attacked them. They attacked this entire group of people, this caravan. And they took them as captives. So Zayd was then taken as a slave. He was a little child, separated from his mother. He was taken to Makkah, and in the bazaar of Ukaz, he was sold. Hakim bin Hizam, radiallahu ta'ala, at that time, he was one of the leaders of the Quraysh, had not yet embraced Islam at that time. Very wealthy person, but very generous also. He had purchased Zayd radiallahu ta'ala and a few other youngsters who were taken as captives. Su'ada, she separated from Zayd. Zayd is now away from his parents, away from his mother, away from his father, away from his family. He's taken as a slave by Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu ta'ala. Hakim bin Hizam was the nephew of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. She comes to visit him. So Hakim bin Hizam tells his aunt that, oh my beloved aunt, I've got a few slaves. I wish to give you one as hadiyah. You choose which one of them you would like. So she looked at them. She looked at each one's face. And then she said, I would like this particular one, Zayd. She said, I can see some nobility in this particular youngster. He's got a very promising future. So she takes him as a gift. And of course, when she marries Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just after that, she gives Zayd radiallahu ta'ala as a hadiyah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this is hidayat from where to where Zayd landed up in the house of Nubuwwat. So he is in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He embraces Islam, the first freed slave, first slave to accept Islam, Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. He is very young. And he is in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a very close bond between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Zayd. Extremely close. Rasulullah sallallahu loved him dearly. Later on, Sahaba would call him Hibbu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Zayd's father and mother, of course, panicking, they are stressing, they are worried, they do not know whether he is alive, whether he is dead. And it's a beautiful poem. You don't have time to give the whole details. She says, Bakaytu ala Zaydin walam adri ma fa'al ahayyun fayurja am atadunahu alajal. I don't know whether Zayd is alive, whether he is dead. I don't know which place he may be in the world. But the mother, she was still concerned and she still used to cry. Perhaps one day I will see him. Zayd's father also, Haritha, also on the search. He looked everywhere he could possibly go and search for him, but he could not find him. People had come for Hajj, and some of the people of his own tribe, they spotted Zayd, they recognized him, he saw them, they go back and they tell his father that we saw Zayd in Makkah. So they come, Haritha and his brother, Ka'b, both of them, they come to Makkah. And they make inquiries. And they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they say that we have heard that our son Zayd is in your custody. Then we have come to collect him. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them again, who are you talking about? So they said, Zayd bin Haritha. Zayd is my son and he is your slave. He says, so they were prepared to pay some ransom, give some money and take Zayd away. Rasulullah said, can I not show you something better than all that? Why don't I call Zayd now? Give him the choice whether he wants to stay by me and chooses me, or if he wishes, he could come back to you people. He said, that's better, that's a better option. Instead of us paying money and giving you, and they were confident that Zayd is going to come back to them. Zayd is called by Rasulullah. He says, Zayd, do you know these two people? He says, yes, this is my father, this is my uncle. Yet they have come to fetch you. But if you wish, you can remain behind with me. Or if you wish, you can go and proceed with them. Zayd radiallahu anhu looks at his father and his uncle. He looks at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I have chosen you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I wish to stay with you. Zayd's father gets the shock of his life. That you want to stay in ubudiyya, in slavery. You wish to be in the bondage of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Come back home with your, to your parents, to your family. You're a free person. He says, no. The character of this person, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has won my heart. And therefore I wish to stay by him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became elated. Takes hold of the hand of Zayd. Takes him to the Kaaba. Announces to the Quraysh who are present there that Zayd has chosen me. From today Zayd is my son. His name was Zayd bin Haritha. He's Zayd bin Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will inherit from me. So now Zayd radiallahu ta'ala was called Zayd bin Muhammad. Everybody call him Zayd bin Muhammad, Zayd bin Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the verse, Ud'uhum li'aba'ihim huwa aqsat 'inda Allah. No. Even though he is your adopted son, still you cannot link him as far as your lineage is concerned to you. He will still be called Zayd bin Haritha. He does not inherit from you as well. This is the justice of Islam. Imagine, Allah could have left it, Zayd bin Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there were so many other important things, there was wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hikmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not keep him as Zayd bin Muhammad. He was known as Zayd bin Haritha. Yes, he was known as the Hibbu Rasulullah, the beloved of Rasulullah, one who was very close, very dear to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So of course, after that, people called him back again. Called him the name Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala. But from this we can see the love, the bond, the affection Rasulullah had for him. And there were so many other incidents where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu comes back from some journey, and perhaps a few days had gone by and Rasulullah did not see him, so he was waiting for him. The message just comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Zayd is at the door. Rasulullah SAW had his low garment on, his lungi was on, and he had his chest bare. He was still going to put another shawl over his shoulders, but he was so excited that my Zayd has come back home. So he ran to the door with just his with the lower garment donned on, and his chest was bare, and he opens the door and he makes mu'anaqa with Zayd. He embraces Zayd. Zayd radiallahu anhu says, that was the first time I saw Rasulullah's chest open. And he described how beautiful the chest of Rasulullah was. Nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Zayd radiallahu ta'ala to Muta. Muta was the battle that took place against the Romans. And Rasulullah had said that Zayd will be the Amir. And if he is wounded or he is killed, then Ja'far radiallahu anhu will become Amir, and we discuss Ja'far radiallahu anhu in detail. If he is wounded or he is killed, then Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu will become Amir. If he is wounded or killed, then the Muslim, فَلْيَخْتَلِ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مَنْ شَاءُ, then the Muslims should choose another Amir, whosoever they wish to select as an Amir. And exactly like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he prophesied, he was sitting far away in Madinah Munawwara. Allah ta'ala opened this whole scene to him, and he said, Zayd has taken the flag. Zayd is going forward, and now Zayd is wounded, and Zayd has become shaheed. Rasulullah is crying, and then he said, Ja'far Like this, he mentioned all three until Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu became the Amir, the Muslims were victorious. Usama, the son of Zayd, was also present at that particular battle with his father, and he saw how his father had fallen. He saw the death of his father. He saw how his father became shaheed. But that did not become a deterrent for him not to spur on and go forward in the battle. He still fought very bravely. Imagine, father has become shaheed. What a great loss. And Usama had come back. Nonetheless, Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, it is mentioned that he cried Rasulullah cried when Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala became shaheed. So somebody asked, Sa'd bin Ubadah asked, oh, there was a daughter when Zayd radiallahu anhu cried, when Zayd radiallahu anhu became shaheed, then Rasulullah SAW cried, and Sahaba asked him, why are you crying? Then he explained this incident, and then he said, that this is the buka of a Habib. The buka, the crying of a beloved person for his beloved. Zayd was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this loss meant a great deal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore he shed those tears, which is perfectly permissible to shed. Now, this was Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala. Coming back to Usama, his son, I said Ummu Ayman Baraka was the mother, Zayd radiallahu ta'ala the father, and of course the day that Usama is born, Rasulullah is overjoyed, and exactly like how he used to love and take care of Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Kareem SAW loved Usama exactly the same. Usama radiallahu ta'ala resembled his mother. In other words, the complexion was that of an Abyssinian. Zayd radiallahu ta'ala had a very more fairer complexion. Nabi Kareem SAW did not show any discrimination. He still showed such a love to Usama radiallahu ta'ala that he would place Hassan on one lap and Usama on the other lap, and then he'll cuddle both of them close to his chest. And there are so many incidents in the youth of Usama that Rasulullah would show him so much of affection, like he's performing salat and Usama would come and climb on Rasulullah, Nabi Kareem, some exactly how he would do for Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhu, he would do the same for Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. And therefore Usama now became known as Hibbu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ibn Hibbihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Rasulullah sallam, and also the son of the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Father is beloved, and the son also beloved. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu ta'ala, still who had not yet accepted Islam, had given Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a beautiful garment from Yemen. Very expensive garment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to take it as a hadiyah. He said, no, he is a mushrik, I cannot take it. But he chose to purchase it from Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu anhu. Purchases this beautiful garment, and then he calls Usama, who is a youngster, he gives it to Usama. And he said, Rasulullah wore it once only for a Jumu'ah Salat. After wearing it for a Jumu'ah Salat, then he called Usama and made him wear this garment. And Usama would boast to the other youngsters that I am wearing this that Rasulullah had given me. When Hijrat was made, Usama radiallahu ta'ala was plus minus 11 years of age. In other words, when Rasulullah left this world, then Usama was about 21 years old. I'm mentioning this because you will see that Rasulullah chose him to be an Amir of the last Jamaat that Rasulullah dispatched just before he left this world. This Jamaat that Rasulullah had sent was a war against the Romans also. And he called Usama and he said that Usama will be the Amir of this group of Sahaba. What is amazing is amongst these Sahaba who were under the leadership of Usama bin Zayd, youngster 20 years old, were people like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, great Sahaba whom we had mentioned, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala. All of them had to be under the leadership of Usama bin Zayd. But nobody said anything. Why? Because Rasulullah had appointed him. This group of this jamaat, they leave. And as they're going, they hear that Rasulullah is very ill. These are his last days in this world. So they wait. And after permission is granted, they come back to Madinah Munawwara. Few days, they are in Madinah Munawwara. Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu comes to Rasulullah and visits him. Usama bin Zayd says, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem was extremely sick at that time. When I went there, I found that he was not speaking. He did not utter a word. Absolutely silent. Very heavy fever. But when he saw me, he raised his hands towards the sky. And he looked at me. I knew that he was making dua for me. He says, after a few days, Rasulullah passed on. Then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu becomes the Khalifa. It's a long story. Bay'ah took place. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu then calls this group of Sahaba and he tells them to proceed. They had left already in the path of Allah. Rasulullah has left this world. And he said that this Jamaat must continue with their mission. Obviously, they were a bit worried, reluctant. But they saw that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is serious. So they are about to proceed when some of the Ansar, they go to Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar. Usama is a youngster. He's too young to be Amir. We think that somebody else should be appointed, somebody more senior. Why don't you speak to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? Umar radiallahu anhu, we know his courage, his bravery. He goes to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and he says, Ya Khalifata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of them have come to me, the Ansar, they've got a message. And they feel that somebody else, more senior in age and maturity, that person should be the Amir instead of Usama. It is said that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu became so annoyed, so angry with Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And he said, Ya ibn al-Khattab, O son of Khattab, a man who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes his Amir, appointed him as Amir, and had dispatched this group of Sahaba. Should I now pull him out from this leadership and take him out from this position and put somebody else? This can never happen. Allah's qasam, this will never take place. Umar radiallahu anhu realizes his error. He goes to the Ansar. What shall put me into now? Abu Bakr is shouting me now. So this group is sent. However, of course, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is Amir al-Mu'minin, so he remains behind. Then he takes permission from Usama. Usama, I need Umar with me very desperately. If you don't mind, can I keep Umar back with me in Madinah? Of course, permission is given. The rest of the group go. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu is a young Sahabi, 21 years old now. And they fight very bravely. Various places they conquer, Balqa. Many areas they take over. It is mentioned that no army in Islam till that point was seen who had brought more mali ghanimat and booty than the Jaish and the army of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was giving the stipends to the various Sahaba. So each person who participated in various battles, whatever criteria was laid out, they were given some amount. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, son of Umar, also had participated. It was his turn. He comes. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he is Amir al-Mu'mineen. So he gives his son 3,000 dirhams or dinars, whatever it was. Then Usama comes and Usama gets 4,000. So Abdullah bin Umar complains to his father. He says, this is not fair. Both of us participated. Both of us are very similar in age. We both fought equally. Why does he get more than me? Now look at the answer of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He says, Usama was more beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than you were. Not that one. Not only that. He says, Usama was more beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than you were. And he says, Usama's father was also more dearer to Rasulullah than your father. There are two incidents that will terminate this. There's so many more important incidents, but I urge you to read about the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. The two incidents that I mentioned. One is, there was a woman by the name of Fatima. She came from the tribe of Makhzumiyah. Banu Makhzum tribe. She's on the Fatima from the Makhzumiyah tribe. She was caught for theft. Now obviously, you know the laws of Shariat, her hands are going to be chopped off. Her people were worried. They said, now, if somebody could go intercede on her behalf. So they looked around and they found the most suitable person. The only person who could do it is Usama, because Rasulullah loved him. So they go to Usama. Usama then goes to Rasulullah. And he says, this woman, she is caught for theft. And the people have asked that I should intercede on her behalf. And that Islamic punishment should not be meted out to her, and hands should be spared and not be cut, chopped off. Rasulullah said, became very annoyed, very angry. He said, in the Bani Israel, when any rich person stole, taraku, they would leave this rich person. When a poor person would steal, then they would chop off his hand or give him a punishment. In other words, you are doing the same thing like Bani Israel. And then he said, atashfa'u fi haddin min hududillah? Are you trying to intercede with regards to a penalty, an Islamic punishment, a divine punishment which Allah has fixed in the Quran? You are trying to intercede regarding that matter where Allah has fixed something and you want me to change that condition and that command? This can never happen. لو أن فاطمة بنت محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, had stolen, I would have chopped off her hands also. This is the justice of Islam. One occasion, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, in some battle he is fighting. Enemy comes right there. Usama gets him in a corner, about to pierce him. This enemy says, La ilaha illallah, recite the kalima. Usama looks at him, realizes that he is only saying kalima just to spare his life. So, fata'anahu, he pierces him. He's killed. He comes to Rasulullah sallam. Ya Rasulullah, in the battlefield, there was one person, you know, I had him there, and then he said the kalima, so I killed him. Rasulullah woke up. He said, what did you do? He said, I killed him. He said, why did you kill him? He said, no, innama qala thalika ta'awudan. He just said that to save himself, just to protect himself. He read kalima, so he knew now, I'll think he's a Muslim, so I won't kill him. Rasulullah said, فَهَلَّا شَقَقْتَ عَنْ قَلْبِهِ. Why didn't you split his chest open to see whether he had iman or not? The man recited the kalima. It was your duty to accept what he said. And you had no business to go and kill him. In other riwayat, it is mentioned, Rasulullah repeated the following words, فَكَيْفَ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. فَكِيفَ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. فَكِيفَ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Usama, what answer are you going to give to Allah Ta'ala in the court of Allah when this man's kalima, La ilaha illallah, is brought forward? And if he really said it with iman, what answer are you going to give to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? The man had iman and you still killed him? He made a mistake. Usama didn't realize we would have done worse. Anybody would have felt he's saying just to spare his life. Usama says, how I wished I was at that time still not yet a Muslim, and I only accepted iman after that. Because once a person accepts iman, then all his past sins are forgiven. Of course, he made tawbah, istighfar. And most probably Allah knows best, the person could have said that would just to save himself. Usama made an error. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us how important it was that a person recites kalima. We are mukallaf of the zahir of the person, not the batin. We don't know what his real intentions are. And just one more incident is very important. Udu'uhum li'aba'ihim. Call these adopted children of yours by the father's name, the original, biological father, not by the new father. Usama was married to Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha. It's a long incident. Rasulullah SAW had told Zainab that I'll get you married to Usama. First she wasn't so happy, then finally she's okay, Rasulullah, you are saying this, and then she marries him. But for some reason or other, this nikah did not work out. Usama, Zaid, he got married, he got Zaid, Zainab married to Zaid radiallahu ta'ala. Zaid radiallahu ta'ala would keep on complaining to Rasulullah that I'm not happy with Zainab. Each time Rasulullah would tell him, Fi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just keep her. Amsik alayka zawjak, wattaqillah. Fi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just keep your wife, just carry on. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a divine plan. And Allah wanted to show the ummah that if a person has got an adopted son and he marries a woman, and then if he divorces that woman, it is permissible for this father, the father of the adopted son, of course, not the real father now, for him to marry that woman who his adopted son had divorced. It's not his real daughter-in-law, that his adopted son's wife. So if any person marries like that, not to say you must go and do that, if any person marries, this is not regarding, is not regarded as a person married his own daughter-in-law, because it's haram for a person to marry his own daughter-in-law, even after his son divorces his wife. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine plan, wisdom. Allah tells Rasulullah SAW now, when Zaid radiallahu ta'ala had divorced Zainab, tells Rasulullah, your nikah has been performed already in the heavens, so Zainab, zawajnaakaha. Allah performed it. I'm just giving you the gist. That Allah performed Rasulullah's nikah to Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala, and this was one reason, or the main reason, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performed this nikah. And Zainab radiallahu ta'ala tell both to the other wives of Rasulullah, your people's nikah took place in the world, mine took place in the heavens. But this is the reason, to show the ummah, that if you adopt a son, divorces his wife, and then this girl marries that father, it is permissible. Rasulullah was sitting with Sahaba, and then he tells them, if any person wants to marry a woman of Jannah, he should marry Ayman Baraka. That's when Zaid radiallahu ta'ala went and he got married to Ayman Baraka radiallahu ta'ala. And from there they got Usama bin Zaid radiallahu ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to read more about the Sahaba, and until the love of Sahaba permeates our hearts and we can become like them, at least on the day of Qiyamah. If our hashar is made with the Sahaba and with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa, then we have some hopes inshallah in the akhirat. We continue our tafsir lesson. We had commenced Surah Al-Hujurat and we mentioned how these Bedouins had come from outside midday shouting from behind the quarters of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa, ya Muhammad, ukhruj, ukhruj ilayna, come, come, we need to talk to you. And Allah sent down the verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. If they made sabr, waited for you, O Muhammad SAW, to come out, it would have been better for them. I mentioned this entire surah, Allah teaches us adab, etiquettes, mannerisms, akhlaq. Another name of the surah is Suratul Akhlaq also. Now, we discussed today, inshallah, and of course, we also mentioned, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, those who Allah commands us to lower our voices in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mentioned Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu anhu, the orator. He was very loud. He had a very loud voice. And his entire incident we discussed. And Allah ta'ala, Rasulullah had mentioned that he should not worry because he is a person of Jannah. And we had mentioned the details regarding Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu anhu. But today, inshallah, we discuss. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. The incident behind this particular verse is that Rasulullah sent a Sahabi by the name of Walid bin Uqbah radiallahu ta'ala. He sends him to the Bani al-Mustaliq tribe. And this Bani al-Mustaliq tribe, the leader of the tribe was Al-Harith bin Dirar al-Khuza'i. And he was the leader. He was actually the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah had married his daughter, I think it was Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Banu al-Mustaliq tribe, they had to give the zakat. So Walid bin Uqba is sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go to the Banu al-Mustaliq tribe and go and bring the sadaqat, the zakat to me. This particular sahabi, he had some problem with this tribe before. So he's very apprehensive. As he's going, It so happened that these people got the news that Rasulullah SAW is sending a messenger to us to come and collect our zakat. So they felt it's only right for us to be hospitable to the messenger of Rasulullah SAW. Let us go out of our homes, on the outskirts of our town. Let's take our zakat, our monies. Don't give him taklif to come into each house. Let us go and meet him there. He's a messenger of our Rasulullah SAW coming. So we welcome him, meet him, make his istiqbal there. So the whole town, so as to say, they came out. And as he's coming from a distance, he sees all of them. So he thought they were ganging up against him. So he goes back to Medina. فَخَافَ فَفَزِعَ He was very afraid. But he gives a report and he assumed that these people had turned renegades. They left Islam. And now they're not going to give zakat. So they have assembled there to attack me. He tells Rasulullah SAW this news, this information, that Ya Rasulullah SAW, these people have turned renegades and they don't want to give zakat. Sahaba who were present there, they became annoyed, became very upset, very angry. That these people have turned murtad. Therefore, we should wage a war against them. Now they're already planning to attack them. When Rasulullah says, no, wait. Let's go and verify this news. Check how authentic this information is. So he sends Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, who goes, and he checks up, he says, nothing of what this person came and said. Totally opposite. Allah sent down this verse, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqun binaba. If any fasiq comes and gives you information, then you should verify, ascertain. Now, important. Mufassirin have went into detailed explanation. This sahabi was not a fasiq. He was a sahabi, genuine iman he had. And of course, it's a lengthy academic discussion, but I will give you what the gist is of what majority Mufti Shafi Sabram has mentioned in Ma'arif al-Quran in the end of this ayat, and he says that if a fasiq, an open sinner, had to bring news to you, it becomes even more important for you to verify his statement. Because here a believer has come with news, and here Rasulullah is commanded, or he commands the Sahaba to go and verify and ascertain the truth and discern what has happened, whether it's correct what the information is or not. When a believer has come, how much more important it is to verify when a fasiq comes and gives you information. So fatabayyinu, go and check out. Antusibu qawman bijahala, lest you go and attack out of ignorance, any group of people, and what's going to happen after that? فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ You're going to be very remorseful over what you have done. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْلَمُ So of course, this applies to us as well. Many times, person comes with some information, we don't check, we don't ascertain whether this person, whatever he has given us, is 100% or not. Now if we don't like a certain person, now somebody come and give us information about that person. He said something about you. Immediately, you say, yeah, he just hates me. He's after me for from a long time. So he must have said these things. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَيُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَيُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ Rasulullah has mentioned that it is sufficient for a person to be regarded as a liar if he just goes and he mentions everything that he hears without checking the veracity of the statement. So, we should verify rumors or any information we get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Know very well, amidst you is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنْ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with them. These sahaba or the ansar, whoever they were there, they felt, let us go and wage war against the Banu Mustaliq tribe. So one is to give your opinion when your mashura is taken, or you are asked to give your opinion. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want them to exert all the efforts in forcing and compelling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to carry out whatever desires they had and opinion that they had given. Many times we have a mashura. Now I give an opinion, somebody else gives an opinion. So we try and exert all our efforts that whatever opinion I give, that's what the Amir must do. In this case, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present. In his presence, no person should give any opinion whatsoever unless he is consulted and must just give his opinion, that's all. More than that, he should not try and persuade Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow his opinion. If you had to do that, and if Rasulullah had to obey you in all your opinions and all your decisions and whatever desires you have, la'anittum, you will be putting yourself into serious problems and difficulties. Imagine if Rasulullah just listened to you people now. It's okay to make you happy and this is your opinion. Let's go and wage a war against Banu Mustariq. And they were believers. They had not turned renegade. Now what a serious crime and offense it would have been. Like there's so many other incidents that you would be putting yourself into difficulty. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِسْيَانَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made iman very beloved to you. And Allah has beautified it in your hearts. So sahaba radiyallahu anhu majma'in, Allah blessed them with iman. Allah decorated this iman in their hearts. Allah made them detest and dislike kufr, disbelief, fusuq and isyan, sinning and disobeying the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So naturally they detested, they disliked, they abhorred sins and transgressing and violating the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had genuine love for iman, and obviously, whatever the dictates of iman then demanded from them, they would comply by those dictates of iman. So like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we should not just, whatever we hear, just go and mention it and spread the rumor without ascertaining the facts. What is more important, we should dislike any rumors that are spreading, any scandals, any ghibat that is taking place, any gossiping or poking any fingers towards any person, insulting any person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the beauty of iman in the surah. فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. This is out of the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنِعْمَةً. It is an extremely great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is alim and hakeem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing. Allah is hakeem. Mawlana Shabbir Ahmad Usmani rahmatullah has mentioned that Rasulullah SAW is not present with us today. But we have with us his teachings. We have his legacy. We have the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have the practical example of Rasulullah's life. So this ayat also applies to us. That what we should be concerned is bring iman into our hearts. Therefore we always make dua. Allahumma thabbitna al iman wa amitna al iman wa ahshurna yawm al qiyamati ma al iman. And oh Allah, make iman more beloved to us. Or make iman beloved in our hearts. When iman comes into the person's heart, genuine iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him dislike and abhor all type of fisk and isyan. Then the person will not live a life of filth and guna. Why? Because now he's got iman. He has the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love for Rasulullah sallam, love for Quran. He'll want to know what are the dictates of iman. What is my iman demanding me of for me now, at this particular time, this particular moment, when I'm dealing with people? Is it iman that is making me be a generous trader? Or should I cheat and deceive the customer? Is that according to iman or against iman? So a person who has genuine iman, and therefore in many ahadith, when a person is dishonest, he's not trustworthy, he breaches an agreement, a promise, he goes against his words. In the hadith of Rasulullah said, La imana, the man has got no iman. Of course, Muhaddithin have said that he does not have a perfect iman. In other words, he has not reached the perfect state of iman. There's still a lot of room for improvement for this person. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala embed in our hearts, love for iman, instill in our hearts, love for iman. May Allah ta'ala make us dislike kufr, shirk, nifaq, bid'at, isyan and fisq and all sins. May Allah ta'ala make us among those ulaika humur rashidun, those who are righteous, those who are pious, those who are on rushd and hidayat, those on the straight path. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.